This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hi, I'm James Deacon, and welcome to Desert Island Dicks, the show that sees you marooned on a desert island after a plane crash with the worst people and worst things imaginable. Who they are and why they're a dick is up to you. And here to share their Desert Island Dicks with us today is Mark O'Sullivan and Miles Chapman, actors, writers and creators of Lee and Dean.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Really good, thank you. Yeah, very well.
Yes, a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in.
Can I just tell you, Miles referred to the show earlier as Desert Island Desks.
Desert Island Desks.
By mistake. Imagine that.
Yeah.
That had quite a limited appeal. So you go, oak would be my...
Black ash. With tubular sort of steel.
Yew's good. Yew's a pretty wood.
Yeah. Okay. Where's your knowledge of desks come from?
Oh, just general everyday life.
Just general desk.
You have a small collection in your loft.
I love a desk.
I mean, I felt like I'd gone fairly niche, but Desert Island Desks is a whole new angle.
Desert Island Docks, where you mention your favourite docks.
Yes.
Or least favourite dock,
I'm going to go Albert in Liverpool.
Desert Island Dogs.
I'm going to go Folkestone.
Is there a dock at Folkestone?
Yeah.
Of course there is. Boats go from there all the
time.
Probably, in just saying boats, I've really upset someone because they're probably not boats.
But are these the docks that you want to keep, or are they your favourite docks or your least favourite docks?
I haven't got that far to
Okay, fair enough.
I'll be honest.
I like Liverpool docks.
Liverpool docks, it's good down there.
It's fancy around there now.
It's very fancy now.
All right. You're working for them.
Yeah.
Should we dive in?
Should we get on with it?
Yeah,
is that what you're trying to say? I know what you're trying to say.
Who's going to be your first choice? Who's going to be your first choice for your Desert Island Dicks?
I think I'm right in saying I've got two and you've got one. Is that correct? But we might chuck.
I agree. So, interestingly, I agree with Mark's first choice. I was going to say that. So, go on.
Okay, so I'm not going to mention any names, and it's not a famous person to begin with.
Okay.
But in the town we're from, which, by the way, I've heard mentioned on this podcast a couple of times.
So, yeah, actually, we're from the same place.
The same neck of the woods, aren't we?
Literally within a couple... I am from Letchworth. But isn't your company in Letchworth?
It is,
So
it's 10 minutes away,
I spent a lot of my time in Hitchin growing up.
Hitchin's a great town.
I did, Club 85 at the Heart or the Cock or the Rose and Crown.
Yeah.
Those pubs.
That's still going. That used to be a working men's club.
Yes,
Memories.
And the Red Heart is now going to be a really nice sort of pubby, restauranty.
All right, you're working for them.
No, I'm not. It's not. Oh, God.
We've spent a lot of time together, haven't we, Miles?
Yes, far too much. Yeah.
You love it, I can tell.
We bicker a bit, but we do love it.
We do, yeah.
It's love you.
Let's move on.
It's a complex. So who's this person? I'll know who they are.
You might guess. We can't really say names.
In the town we live in, which may or may not be Hitchin, there is a market.
Yep.
And Miles, I don't mind telling you, is an amazing cook.
Thank you.
He's incredible. And if you ever get invited around, I'm not sure it's going to happen.
James, I didn't get my hopes up there.
I don't think James and I would get on around a meal. I'll be honest.
It's just what you picked
no,
up.
No
in the
idea
last
why I said
I think
that.
We would. I just think
any other
would.
Context, just a meal. I think we come to blows.
I'm very easy going.
Well, oh no, you can get on.
Oh, okay.
So Miles is an amazing cook.
Okay.
He loves kind of cooking with fresh ingredients,
mm.
and it's a joy to be, you know, invited round to eat at Miles's place.
Lovely.
And we sometimes, if we're in Hitchin, we go by the market and there's a few fruit and vegetables there. And there's one in particular that has this one man working on it.
Okay.
Who I cannot stand.
Really?
And can I explain? The only thing he's ever done to me is this, right?
Okay.
I haven't been buying anything. I've just been with Miles while he's been buying. I'll have some of that parsley and I'll have those lemons and whatever. And for some reason, even though Miles is very clearly the purchaser, this man hands all of the bags to me like I'm your servant.
No, it's very, very odd.
And it winds me up so much. Why would you do it?
No, he's a very peculiar man. So I went down there, I've been here a few times, and market days, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and I went there on a Friday, and I said to him, you're open Saturday as well? He went, yep. I said, well, that must be annoying. Was it sweet potatoes you want? I said, yeah, and some bananas. I said, because, you know, on the Friday, do you have to take all your stuff down and then restack it all for Saturday morning? He went, 6:40, please.
Wouldn't even nod.
So the rudest man alive.
Why?
So I'd imagine spending time with him, just being stuck with him on a desert island.
Oh,
it'd
be
grim, wouldn't it?
Evil, wouldn't it?
I mean, people, you know, I've been to a lot of markets. I went to markets all the time as a kid. There's something special about them. Like the freezer van, the conversations you overhear with the man with the sort of Madonna-style headset on.
Yeah.
You know, remember that? We walked past at one point and you could hear him talking because he's going through a public address system, but not the woman he was talking to.
Mm.
He'd go, what's that? You want steak? She would say something. How'd you do your steak? In the oven.
In the oven?
Who bakes a steak?
In the oven.
Who's baking
steak? In a Bain Marie.
And the guy.
Steaming. Oh, I like it wet. All the fat, all wet, lovely, innit?
But then he's the person selling the steak, right? So you think surely he should have some idea of how you cook
it. Knowledge at all. No.
Apparently not.
And I remember going around the back of that van and just seeing some bloke with a roll-up and he had these huge, big, white tubs. One said mint and the other one said, I think it was Creole. And he was just getting loads of meat and just covering it in this paste. Smoke it and then putting it all out in trays and then hand it to them. Absolutely vile.
This was a long time ago, so it's very possibly a different supply. I'm just trying to cover your back.
Okay, no, that's all right. It's absolutely fine. I feel like the chance of fruit and veg man hearing this and then realising it's him. Yeah, quite niche.
But, yeah.
But
who hands someone else's shopping?
Yeah, I don't know.
Makes a point of doing, and looks you in the eye as he's doing it. He knows what he's doing. He's playing with
my
mind.
He's winding you up. Yeah.
It's a mind game. That's only just occurred to me.
So the fruit and veg man, I imagine that would be a painful type of person.
So if he turns up, I'm going to be well annoyed.
Imagine the mind games he'd play with you if you're stuck on a desert island
with him. Oh, he'd be handing me stuff all the time.
Yeah, but looking at Miles while he did it.
Just be handing me things. And of course, I'd take it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to let him win.
No, that's it. Yeah. I did, for a few weeks running, I did a car boot. You know, on that market, you can do a little car boot.
Yeah, that's the same patch we do on a Sunday.
James, how many people, I'm going to say people, did you see wearing fleeces with animals on them?
Wolf fleece,
like so many.
A lot.
Like more than I could count on my hand, on each hand. Oh, that's amazing.
Look at that lovely wolf fleece.
They got it from that market.
Is that Native American?
And the cigarette burns, or is that a design thing?
Is that a feature? Finest nylon.
And your hair that looks like loft lagging. Beautiful.
Loft lagging.
And the people that haggle with you, you know, they come up and say, how much for this? And you say, give us 5p, and they say, 3p.
You can't get anything for 5p.
Yeah. You know the seasoned car booters who are there every week?
Oh, yeah.
Pro booters.
And they see you shifting all your stuff for nothing.
Yeah.
And the looks they give you.
I know,
They don't want you to be there. Anyway, so there you go,
Fruit and veg man. Okay, cool. Who's going to be your second choice?
Go on, Miles.
I'm going to go with Yoko Ono.
Yoko.
Yeah, it's a bit of an obvious choice.
No one said it on this
really?
So far.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I have never met the woman.
Mm.
I don't.
I don't know why I found that funny.
I have never met the woman. The chance of me meeting her, I suspect, is as much chance as Fruit and Veg Man here in his podcast. Probably less so, I should think. But she just seems to be unbelievably fucking hard work. You imagine, you know, just just really, really like,
I know.
There's a video of her launching this modern art exhibition. I think it's in the New York Museum of Modern Art.
Mm.
And then they go, ladies and gentlemen, Yoko Ono. And she comes across and she just goes out to this microphone for a minute and goes, not for a minute. And they're all going, fuck. God, yeah, she's like a fucking genius, man. And they're all just like, whoa. It's just...
Are they whooping?
Yeah,
it's
they're
amazing.
Whooping.
It's so American.
And I think, what is wrong with you? I just, you know, just...
I mean, yeah.
I can't be doing with it.
Like, why, you know, obviously, John Lennon's partner, you just think, has she actually ever done anything?
No, she hasn't. Really,
like, what has Yoko ever done?
She lay in a bed for a bit.
Yeah, she did lay in a bed for a bit. But did she do anything? I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
It's the whole John Lennon thing. And yeah, I'll put my hand up and say, yes, he probably was a musical genius and he wrote some fantastic songs.
Yeah.
Apparently he was a bit of a difficult prick as well.
Yeah.
Really difficult. Apparently a very difficult man to be around. So I imagine the pair... I'm sorry, I'm going to speak up here.
He hasn't spent time with you.
No, I suspect they fed off each other.
Yeah,
you know. Imagine the moaning in that bed. Laying there about the piece.
Moaning in this studio.
Well, sorry, but
that's what it is.
It's a negative show to make you feel negative.
You've got a vent. No.
You're getting it out, aren't you?
Get it out now. Get
it
out now.
Do you know what? And I'd love
to be more colour in your cheeks.
I'd love to meet her and find out she's just really lovely.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to be proven wrong, but I just suspect she's just bloody hard work.
I'd say the look on Yoko's face makes me feel like the opposite, probably. But
you've got a great name.
You do have a good name.
It's a good name, Yoko Ono, isn't it?
Yeah. If I were ever going to change my name by deed poll.
Yeah.
Do you change Yoko up a bit, wouldn't it? What were the names you could change it to?
Yono Oko.
Does that mean you've got one
Yoko? Yoko, if you are listening, she probably is. I'm sorry.
She's into, you know, niche desert island themed podcasts.
she listens to.
What are you doing today? I'm probably nipping out buying a few tops to listen to Desert Island Dicks.
Buying a few tops.
Buying a few tops.
I don't know. And then going to a very appreciative audience.
Yeah, okay,
and then,
I know.
I've got to get into Halfords before it shuts.
Got to get some French chalk for my puncture.
Is that what it is, French chalk?
French chalk. When Mark and I got this ongoing thing, Halfords always comes out, and everyone says, God, that's a lovely bit of meat. Where'd you get that, Halfords? Everything's from Halfords.
Okay.
It's a nice top. Where'd you
get
that?
Done.
Yeah, Halfords. Yeah. Always Halfords.
Good. I like it.
It always amuses us.
Yoko, anyway. Anything else on Yoko Ono?
No, because I don't
really know anything about her, do
I
you?
Don't. I just find her intensely irritating.
Yeah, yeah.
And I shouldn't. I'm like, that's really...
Why shouldn't you?
Because I don't know. You can't make a judgment on someone if you don't know them. I suspect
sort of
that may
have.
Be to do with the media's portrayal of her. So, but she does, you know, every time you see an interview, you think, oh, God, just lighten up, woman. What's wrong with you?
No.
You know.
What's happened? While you've been talking about how you know nothing about her, but you hate her.
Yeah.
It's sort of made me think about my next one. I think it's exactly the same. I don't know anything about
it. But I think that's part of it, isn't it? Because...
Okay, hate's a strong word. It's just you wouldn't like to be stuck next to him for the rest of your life.
No, I think hate's a strong word. I just find if I was with her, I'd just get very irritated.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
I can believe that.
I might change my next one now, though.
No, I think it's... Okay, go on.
Well, I might tell you who it was going to be.
Go for it.
And then do another one, okay? So I was going to say the other person I wouldn't want to be stuck with is Morrissey.
Morrissey!
And on paper... I should love Morrissey because I love Radiohead and I love Pet Shop Boys and I love really depressing music.
Charlie Smiths?
I sort of do.
I adore the Smiths.
But
I really do.
Because it's Morrissey, I hate it.
Because
I hate him.
Oh.
And every time I see him and the way people kind of evangelise about him, you know, we're going to see Morrissey.
As if he's some sort of deity.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird.
And I'm with Mark on that. In fact, it was a very... we nearly went for the same choice.
We did,
for Morrissey, you mean?
And I get very frustrated that because I think the But the Smiths, I absolutely adore the Smiths. Mm. Less keen on Morrissey's solo stuff, with the exception of Suedehead, which is a fantastic
song. It is a great song, yeah.
But why did you go so serious when you said that?
With the exception of Suedehead, actually. There we go. So, yeah, what I find, I just find that I just can't bear people talking riddles.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And just sort of think everything they say just has to be clever.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just being straight and having... I imagine him and Yoko would probably get on famously.
Yes.
You know, one of the things I really hate about him is the way he wears a shirt.
What, undone right down to... Yeah, that's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want to see his dad chest. I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I don't want... You know, I'm not... Look, I've got a jumper on.
Yeah, you don't need to wear that shirt.
You know? I just, there's no need for it.
He wears the type of shirt he wears as well is like a two-tone shirt with quite a big collar. The kind of shirt you'd see someone wearing down Pulse and Vogue on a Saturday night.
Yes,
you
know what I mean?
In the 90s. Stevenage reference.
Yeah. Like with a big collar and big cuffs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
That's
exactly
the kind of look that
he
likes.
Quick question, what did Pulse and Vogue become?
Liquid Envy.
And now it's a kids' play centre.
It is a kids' play centre. Yeah. I can't take my kid in there though because it feels like it'd be weird.
But the weirdest thing, I have taken my kid in there, but the bogs are exactly the same. So you go in the bogs, you expect to come out to a nightclub, there's a lot of screaming kids and shitty nappies everywhere. It's very odd.
What, do you mean made of metal and no seats?
Yeah, pretty much. The bogs are absolutely identical.
Like a prison.
Yeah.
Oh, they're horrific.
But can I say, I'm not choosing Morrissey now that we've selected Morrissey.
Oh, right, okay.
Is that going to throw everything?
No, I find it's very interesting. It's your show, so
I'm just going to say very quickly that somehow I'm 41 and I've managed to live almost all of those 41 years hating football, but I've also managed to produce two children who both gave up drama on Saturday mornings to play football.
Well, there you go.
And they love football, and it's got to the point now where they both play for teams. I play football every Monday evening. We're all Spurs fans. I don't know how it's happened to me. Miles is really upset because one of the things that brought us together was our shared hatred of football.
And having no understanding of it and not wanting to understand, I thought, at last I found a kindred spirit. And it feels like...
It's a betrayal, isn't it?
It's like a betrayal.
Yeah.
Why, Mark?
I know.
It does really get under my skin.
But something that's happened... So I have to go to... Saturday morning and Sunday mornings, I have to go to football matches now with each of my kids. And... I sort of made judgments in my head, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to know how to talk to the other mums and dads. And actually, I have to say, almost every other sort of mum and dad there is lovely, and I've made some really good friends. But occasionally, you go to a match somewhere else, and you come across a parent at a football match who you just think you and I could never be friends.
Right, okay.
And sometimes it's not even anything you say to them, or they say to you. There's one guy...
Describe to me. Go on, what's he like?
So there's one guy... And I call him, and it's a phrase we use quite a lot, Jack the Biscuit.
Jack the Biscuit.
Okay. And he's called Jack the Biscuit because he thinks he's fucking it.
Ah.
Right? And he always does the line. He's always a linesman.
Okay.
Whenever we play this team. And when I was doing performing arts a long time ago, I remember we did a session, movement session, right, where we talked about leading with different parts of our bodies. And this guy... If he's being led by anything, he's been led by his penis up and down the line. And I know this sounds unsavoury, you're talking about a kids' football match, but he walks up and down the line as if he is the lord of the manor.
Okay.
And he's kind of being led by his penis.
Yeah.
And I've never spoken to him. He might be lovely. He might work for a charity. I don't know.
You don't know,
but I hate him.
isn't that, and I love, I find that an unusual quirk of being human is that you can... really dislike and hate a person without knowing them, just by sight or by
knowing them, Miles.
Loaded.
the eyes then, Mark was giving Miles.
Another example of Jack Biscuit, we say, look at him, he looks like he really thinks he's rung the bell.
So when you're describing him moving with his penis,
yeah.
I'm imagining someone like Ministry of Funny Walks flailing their arms behind
them.
I
know this is a podcast audio, I'm going to do it for you.
I'll do my best to describe. Okay.
Go on.
So here's the line.
Mark stood up, he's pointing to the line. He's walking.
Yeah.
His tummy's out. He's pushing his pelvis forward, and he's waving his arms behind himself. Tongue's in his cheek. That kind of person. I've got him.
Have you ever spoken to him?
No, and I won't.
If he came up to you and said, "All right, mate," what would you say to him? Would you just walk away? Would you ignore him?
I'd say, "Get away from me."
I'm not staying on a desert island with you.
And he'd have no idea what I was talking about, and then I'd start crying.
You're a desert island dick. Is that the three? I think that's the three.
Well, that's your three people. Really. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, but
we broke the rules.
Anything more on this linesman? Is he a parent of one of the children?
If he isn't, I question why he's there.
Okay, yeah. But wouldn't he be biased then if he's one of their dads?
Oh, he is. Oh, he's biased.
Yeah.
But then, well, actually, I've never run the line because I'm always conveniently getting coffee.
Nice,
when
okay.
They come looking around.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. Just buy everyone coffee. Yeah. They're like, oh, I'm getting free coffee. You never have to do
I'd
it.
I'd rather spend money I don't have than have to walk the line.
Okay.
Because I don't understand how it works.
No, that doesn't.
I'd make the wrong decisions it's all fine. The time.
Just do them in favour of your kid's team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Betty and Oscar won. I'd just say.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And they don't even play on the same team.
They win. Sweet. Ridiculous. Okay, cool. So the linesman goes in. Yeah. Anything else on the linesman before we leave? No, we're good?
Well, I don't know the linesman.
Okay, all right, okay.
Well, but,
I'm just saying he sounds...
Well, I don't know him, he says, folding his arms.
I'm not folding my arms. Can I point out, am I folding my arms?
No.
Thank you. Right, next.
You were going to.
I could see where you're bloody going, weren't you?
Mark and Miles. Hi. Now, mercifully, among the wreckage of the plane, there was some food and drink left over. But unfortunately for you, it's your least favourite food and drink in the world. What are they and why are they so bad?
You're going to talk about your least favourite meal, aren't you?
I am. Now,
Miles.
Good follow-on from Mark. Very kindly said I'm an excellent cook and I do enjoy...
Didn't mean it.
Thank you. I do enjoy... Really good food, simply put together, and okay. I'm not an obsessional cook, but I enjoy cooking a lot.
He is a nice.
And when I get a terrible meal, it puts me in a terrible mood. My worst meal, unfortunately, I'm going to have to lay firmly on the doorstep of my wife, Jill.
This is dangerous.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that Jill's going to listen to
this? I did speak
to
my wife about this morning. I said, okay. Are you okay with me saying this? She said... It's fine. She did sort of laugh.
Oh, that's the answer you want, isn't it? It's fine.
It's fine. Do what you want.
You will anyway.
If it helps promote the show, Miles.
You will anyway. Yeah.
So she has a meal called a Musco meal.
What's a Musco meal?
Right, so you look intrigued. So yeah. Jill will occasionally, about once a month or every couple of months, open the fridge and go, oh, there's so much stuff in we're not going through. She calls it a must-go, an M-U-S-T.
A must-go
meal.
A
must-go. So a must-go is getting all sorts of things out the fridge that A, don't go together, B, are on the wire of best before.
Okay, yeah.
And you just get this just really... a bleak, vile smorgasbord of nonsense on the table that no one really wants. So you get
if
like...
If that was in a restaurant, that would be the description. A bleak, vile smorgasbord of nonsense.
Well, that's what it's like. So you get like a roast potato that's 3 days old and a bit of coleslaw and some cheese that's kind of on the way. Some yeah, salad yeah. That if you pick around enough, yeah. You find a couple of leaves that are just about edible. And it just puts me in such a bad... And she goes, I hope you don't mind doing a Musco. And my heart... sinks. It absolutely sinks. Okay. Quiche. I can't stand shop-bought quiche. That puts me in a terrible mood.
Oh, I love a shop-bought quiche.
I can't stand shop-bought quiche. Well, I'll go on for hours about food I can't stand. Jacket potatoes and coleslaw. Fuck that. I can't stand it. There's so much I can't bear.
So strong a reaction.
I get really passionate about food I can't bear.
You don't like a jacket potato with coleslaw?
No, it's just awful.
What would you have in a jacket potato?
Just butter and cheese.
Can I recommend you never go to a garden centre?
No,
they're
key
to
jacket potatoes. Yeah. We've been a couple of times. That's a garden set. It's a depressing place to eat. But, but yeah, a must. Yeah. Jill's must-go meal.
Imagine having a date in a garden centre cafe.
So here's another one. So just adding off. Just have a date. Imagine that as your jacket. Very nice. Might get in bulbs later.
I really like your face.
that reminds me, that's the other sort of food I can't stand, which you might say a must-go. A follow-on from that is, you know when someone says, oh, everyone bring a dish to a party,
everyone
just brings the same shit. You end up with about 20 quiches, 20 falafels, 20 packs of Asda donuts, 20... it's all the same nonsense.
One of those Sainsbury's basic dips.
Yeah. One of those little packs of tiny little three different types of hummus. Do you know what I mean? In a tower. Yeah.
It's just... Oh, I hate it. Yeah. I can't bear a meal that has no place to be on the same plate. It's no semblance. It doesn't speak to each other. I find that...
You don't
abhorrent.
Like... Yeah.
Your food speaking to each other.
It does. You know, like... Oh, sorry, I sound like Ponce here, but, you know, ingredients sort of... connect, and that, you know, we have a meal that doesn't do that. I get very wound up. Sorry, Mark.
You've really painted a picture of yourself here.
Yeah,
isn't
I have, haven't yeah. I?
You were
Miles and his connecting food.
That could be a board game. I might speak to Palatine.
Can I just say now, it couldn't be a board game because it's a shit idea.
Miles is connecting food. Remember Twiglets with...
Connect Twiglets with...
The bin.
The funniest thing that's been said.
I don't like Twiglets.
So there we are. Jill's Musco. Okay.
All right, Musco meal. I mean... You know, it's tenuous, but if you were on Desert Island, the options on a Musco, you might, it would keep you going, right? A little bit of this and a little bit of that, give you your... No, OK, you're looking at me like, just leave the Musco there. No,
what, are you telling me you'd rather not eat?
No, obviously, I'd eat, because I'd starve to death, but I'd rather... But the whole point is this, what would you rather not have?
Yeah, it's true.
I would like it if there's only that Musco meal and Fruit and Veg Man is just handing me things from it randomly. Yeah.
And Yoko's and, going, as I'm eating the quiche.
And the linesman is just walking up and down, surveying the oblique, vile smorgasbord of nonsense.
And Morris is rubbing all the dips into his bare chest. We're going, I can't bear it. Yeah. I can't bear it.
That's so good. Right. Jill's Musco meal.
I've got a drink.
And what's going to be your drink choice, Mark?
Redbush tea.
Oh, Redbush tea. What's that Redbush tea done to you?
It's just horrible. It's really horrible.
Yeah.
And I've got friends...
I couldn't think of any other words.
I've got friends who only drink Redbush tea, you know, instead of the normal tea, builder's tea.
I'm not keen on it.
I first had it in Namibia when I was out there a few years ago and everyone was drinking it and I thought, oh, you know, I better try it. And I thought, this is fucking horrible. And then I came back to the UK... And everyone was drinking Redbush tea almost in that moment.
Right, okay, right.
I don't know how it got over here, and I don't know why people are drinking it. It just tastes like
Rubios
soil.
Redbush tea.
Yeah,
TikTok,
that's annoying, isn't it? Rubosh or whatever
TikTok,
people call it.
TikTok Redbush tea. I'm not keen on it. I'm with Mark on this. I find any tea... Because you must have milk with it, aren't you?
Some people don't have it with milk.
It's just really got a weird flavour.
You see, that's like people who have tea without milk. That's odd.
I doubt it. Normal tea. No, I'm down with the herbal tea thing without milk.
Oh, yeah, no, of course.
Peppermint.
You wouldn't have milk with peppermint sort of tea. We're not savages.
We'd have a lemon and ginger tea.
Yeah, that's nice. That's
but you live in London, so that's what people here do. I've heard.
A slice of lemon.
We're up in North Hertfordshire. I think we do things very differently there.
Single estate, remember. Yeah. Single estate Ceylon.
I barely remember. It's beneath me now.
But Redbush tea, it's horrible.
No, yeah, it is.
It sort of tastes how I imagine really dry earth.
You can't brew it up. It doesn't like brew anymore. So however, when you put milk in it, it will always look the same sort of pale colour. And every time you're having a Redbush tea, you're always thinking... I could be having a better tea here.
Do you know what? I've got friends as well who exclusively drink Redbush tea, but they say, what tea do you want? I say, I'll have normal tea, thank you.
Mm.
And they use the same spoon. And so you get a little bit
of... tinged.
Yeah,
you get a little bit of aftertaste.
Yeah.
And I love these people. They're dear, dear friends, but...
No.
I just don't want that to be happening to me.
No. You don't want to turn around and say, sorry, because you said... A different spoon.
Sorry, could you do this better?
Okay, Redbush tea.
Redbush tea.
I'm with you, totally with you on Redbush tea.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Right, fortunately, you won't be without entertainment on the island. The plane's entertainment system continues to work, but just your luck, it only has two working settings. One is your least favourite film of all time, and the other is your least favourite song. What are they, and why are they so bad? You're nodding. You're nodding at me.
Well, we're really excited about this.
Okay.
We go on a boys' weekend every December with a load of friends. There's about 10 of us who go now, and we usually go to Centre Parks.
That's nice, yeah.
And we play this game almost every year.
Mm-hmm. We've got new people coming along, so we sort of add to the stockpile, don't we?
Yeah, so we're well excited about this. Miles, you're going to do your least favourite film, aren't you?
Yeah, so that we do... I'll probably even throw my song in if you're interested as well, but we do...
I'm not.
top two or top three worst ever songs. You have to explain why, what's behind the story of them, and then you play it, and then you explain why you hate it.
That's great.
Which I think is great, because there's far more salt to a negative experience and talking about a bad song than there is about... But why do you like it? Oh, it's just a great song. Whereas a negative song, you've gone for hours.
Actually, we came up with that long before you started
this podcast. Yeah, hang on, he's pitched our idea.
This is sort of ours.
Well, neither of you have invited me to that weekend away, so how would I know about
that's
it?
That's very true.
There we go.
No, he's got a point.
Interesting, actually. Yeah,
I see, if I took the Porsche, I'd probably end up inviting his dad to break down there. Yeah. Sorry, mate, can you come out?
So, a little backstory. Obviously, being from the same place as you would know if you've gotten this far in the podcast, my dad is an AA man, and he often goes out to, I don't know how many times, at least two, out to fix your Porsche.
It has. It's packed in twice, and Mark finds it hysterical.
Nothing gives me more pleasure than Miles having to eventually admit to me that his Porsche's yet again broken down.
It's only broken down properly twice in
a year. That's a lie.
It is twice.
Three times at
twice.
Least. Well, let's get your dad on the phone and ask him.
Right now.
Oh,
he might be in his
bag. Has he logged it?
Has he logged it?
Well, he will do.
Oh. Why does it bring you so much pleasure?
Just because, well, you know, A, he's got a Porsche. And I'm really pleased for you, Miles, that you've got all the
things.
Thanks,
Mark. That means a lot.
Yeah, I bet. You know, I've got my Qashqai, and that's just as good.
It's been a dream of mine to have a 911 for years, and I treated myself to one last year, and it's wonderful.
Why does it pack up all the time?
It doesn't.
I think it's shit.
Up all the time. It's packed up twice, and there
Three
was fairly
times.
Easy result. Oh. They're very sensitive cars. Like me. Right, come on, move on. What's this doing with entertainment?
I'm laughing, and yet I've had a drive of it, and I love driving it.
Yeah. Oh, is it good?
It's
good.
Ferociously quick. It's
is
brilliant.
It?
Yeah, it's
is.
Great fun.
Yeah.
Well, when it's running.
after my dad hears this episode, he'll be waiting for the day that it packs up again. So
you can come round.
Out.
Yeah.
What's your dad's name?
John.
John, won't be long.
Won't be long.
Hello, John. How are you, mate? All right.
Okay, cool. So, I think that game's great. It's so good, isn't it?
It is.
So, we've got this stockpile of songs that we sort of put together, and it's...
okay.
And it's lovely playing the song and watching the person's song it is just go... Oh,
you put it on shuffle, don't you, so you don't know which...
Yeah, and it'll go, oh, it's almost like you can physically watch their toes curling or watching them sort of... crumple in front of you.
It's a fun game. That's really good.
And sometimes, normally it's like, it's because A, it reminds you of a shit time in your life or a breakup relationship, or it's just a terrible song. So we have a rule that it can't be universally terrible. So like the Birdie song or
Agadoo,
because they are, everyone knows
that's obvious.
Shit.
Yeah.
So it's got to be something that you think, oh, don't like that then. So it's kind of that, isn't it? So shall I go first?
Go on.
Are you doing your film? Are you?
Do your song first. Go on, do your song first.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, okay, cool. So Mark's song.
So my least favourite song in the world ever is In the Army Now by Status Quo.
Oh, okay, yes.
In the army now. Oh, oh, you're in the army.
Why In the Army Now?
Several reasons. I remember it being played at someone's wedding in about 1986.
Right.
At a wedding reception.
Yeah.
And I just remember this wedding reception being desperately depressing anyway. And it was in a scout hut somewhere.
Oh.
And and it was horrible. And
I was hanging out on the wall.
And I just wanted, and I just wanted to go home, you know. And there's a load of adults, you know, wearing terrible clothes, moving really slowly on the dance floor.
Dancing to it.
My Status Quo. You know, usually with a song, you can go, oh, I like that. I connect with that in some way. Or, oh, it just doesn't work for me. In the Army Now is on a whole different level. I don't understand why it exists. I really don't. Did somebody say to Status Quo, you know what, you should write a song about being in the army now?
Not like in the past.
It's a terrible song.
It's a terrible
song.
And also, it was such a departure from their sort of boogie woogie rock. All of a sudden, there's this sort of. It has this sort of serious intent behind it that really gets under my skin as well. And I know it does even more with you.
It makes me feel angry. The thing I least want to do when I hear it is join the army.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was part of the point.
You know, what was going on at the time of when it was released? Was there like...
Nothing. Was it like 1985?
They reissued it about 5-6 years ago, didn't
Why?
They?
Why?
Yeah, and they did a new video for it as well. Right. So the video's absolutely
What's
terrible.
What's the right? The worst bit of the song. I'm going to have to step back to do this.
Stand up and fight!
Why is that in there?
God knows.
Few songs kind of elicit that sort of reaction from me.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of, it's the sort of feeling you get in your stomach. You know, it's not just a kind of, oh, I don't like this. In my stomach,
yeah,
I feel physically like...
nauseous or knotted.
Yeah.
Fire growing up.
No wonder I'm having to take so much Gaviscon.
You know? You seem stressed now.
I feel stressed.
I suspect you're talking about it's those songs where they come on the radio in the car and you just dive straight away for the off button on the radio because you literally cannot listen to it because it's put you in such a bad place. Certain songs. So mine, very, very quickly, because I know there's only one that's all right, Mark.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Jack and Diane, John Mellencamp.
Little ditty about Jack and Diane. Two American kids growing up in the heartland.
Oh,
terrible song.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible song.
Jack and Diane.
Yeah. Two people doing the best they can. Why are you talking like that? What's the matter with you? Terrible, terrible song.
Yeah.
What? It's utterly, utterly meritless.
Yeah.
It should
meritless.
Be
burnt in a fucking vat of tar along with Mellencamp.
What's the story?
I'm not interested in the story.
Hold on, it's about Jack and Diane.
Yeah.
I think it's very clear.
Doing the best
story,
they can. Yeah. In the hard land.
Is it the way that he sings or is
it? It's just everything. The way he sings it and it just evokes memories, much like Mark's, of discos of yore that are just bloody awful and depressing and people dancing
what
to it.
What happened to you? Do you mind if I probe this,
James? No, absolutely.
What happened to you when you heard that song for the first time?
I don't know. I'm just...
Come on, go back there.
No, it's not a counting session.
Come with me, Miles.
Hold my hand.
Back in time.
No, it's just a terrible, terrible song.
What happened?
Nothing. Now, why are we going on to this? Nothing happened, Mark.
Well, your body language says something very different.
Why are you folding your arms?
Why are you crying?
Now, do you agree? Is it a bad song? Or would
That song, yeah. I wouldn't dare. I work for a radio station, of which I will not name, that plays it quite often, and that's just one of the songs. I'll find my headphones and put it on and put whatever else I can find on at that moment in time.
Yeah, can they?
Yeah.
We've got so many songs we could throw in.
Yeah, but those are two solid choices.
We could create a whole disco for the whole night of the desert island with all the songs we hate.
We could, couldn't we?
What's going to be your film choice?
You go first.
Cause yeah, go
Top
on.
Gun.
Top Gun. Mm. A universally liked film.
Yeah.
Why Top Gun?
Yeah, it's just a terrible film, I think. I think it's... Look, here we go. I can totally understand why people would like it. It's very well put together. It's very sort of bombastic. Mm. It's got a nice storyline and it's lots of action stuff. It's just... I don't know. It's something about it that just puts me in a vile mood. I think it's that set piece... where they're singing to that girl at the bar.
Right,
It's so awful, so toe-curling.
I'm going to phone your wife and see if she can organise a must-go evening with Top Gun playing. And do you know what? I'm going to come and watch.
And they'll go in the bang.
No, just Mellencamp on.
Mellencamp, yeah.
I'm going to admit something to you now. I've never watched Top Gun.
Really?
And
Don't bother.
The reason I haven't watched Top Gun is because of the people that really like Top Gun. And
they're
just overly like it. And I think I'm probably not going to be into the same type of films as you.
Herein lies the rub. So I think your guest the other week might have mentioned this. Lovely Anna Morris, who's on...
who's in our show that we're going
to
mention in a bit.
Yes. Yeah. I can't wait to talk about
it. She said, I think, about people who like Robbie Williams. She said, now, see, I've got this thing. Yeah. It's sometimes with me, it's not so much the thing itself, it's the people who like it.
Right, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You don't want to align yourself with them. So it's kind of like... Everyone that said they love Top Gun, I know I've got nothing in common with them.
Mm.
And it's like everyone. Well, that's
not everyone.
Sweeping.
But that's the reason
sweeping.
I haven't
everyone
watched.
Everyone I've met.
Yeah.
Like, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just an awful film.
People that really love Top Gun, I think I'm really not going to like it because you like it so much.
Genuinely think over time as well that women, especially women's perception or men's perception of what was attractive has changed because... Yeah, in Top Gun, everyone thinks that Tom Cruise is just like a dwarf. What's that? And like Michael J. Fox, he's like a 14-year-old boy. Yeah. Oh, he's gorgeous. He's got a lovely bum. He's like 14. What's the matter with you? Yeah. I just don't understand why women ever find him attractive. I find it very odd.
Can I throw in a film I hate?
I would absolutely.
This is going to be so quick, I promise you.
Take your time.
Highlander 2. And my reason for hating it is because Highlander 1 is one of the best films ever made.
Okay.
And Highlander 2 ruined it.
Right, okay.
Okay, and that's it.
It is a weird... Yeah, it's a weird thing. You're right.
It's a terrible film.
It's a brilliant film, but 2 is just like, what earth's that all about? Because 1 was so good.
Highlander 1's incredible, even though the effects are awful.
Is Highlander 1 the one... excuse my ignorance. Is that about the Mountie?
No, that's due south.
Due south?
The series, the Canadian / American...
What's Highlander?
What's Highlander?
Christopher Lambert. What year is it? 86?
Christoph Lambert. 85, I believe.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a soundtrack by Queen.
Okay.
It's about a load of immortals who must fight until there can be only one.
Okay. It does sound good.
It's an amazing film.
Really good story.
It's a brilliant film. And Highlander 2 was made a few years after. And it did that very rare thing of not only being a shit film in its own right, but also ruining the first film.
Right, okay.
Because everyone scrabbled along to the cinema thinking, yeah, this is going to be great.
2.
And you were like, oh, halfway through, what's this?
And it was terrible. It just made Highlander 1 shit.
Yeah, it did,
somehow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I've had to pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
man.
That's the only way I can revisit Highlander. Anyway, that's all I wanted
to
say.
What's so bad about Highlander 2?
So in Highlander... the first film, you've just got all these immortals kind of tooling around, chopping each other's heads off, and it's just great. You know, it's really good fun. And then in Highlander 2, they said, oh, yes, just to explain, we're all aliens.
What?
Fuck off.
What?
I don't need to hear that. I just want to know that you're Sean Connery. And
it's the explaining that you don't need.
Exactly.
Man.
They gave a bit of exposition where none were needed.
Leave something to the imagination. Yeah, that's annoying, isn't it?
So it's a terrible thing that should never have happened.
I learned really quickly on this podcast to never pretend to have watched a film that you haven't actually watched.
Oh, you get
caught up. I've got to be open.
Yeah.
Got to be open.
You've never seen Highlander, have you?
I've never seen Highlander.
Don't watch Highlander 2. Never watch Highlander 2. Mm. Watch Highlander, because it is a good film.
I'm going to watch it.
It's a great film, in fact.
Great.
Will you let me know when you've seen it?
I absolutely will.
Yeah.
We're Twitter friends now. I'll message you and let you know. And finally, the island is overrun by the biggest dick of all the animals. Which animal is it and why?
Peacock.
Peacock!
Yeah.
No one has said a peacock on this. Why a peacock?
Because they just love themselves.
Yeah, they do.
They can't give them a cuddle. Doubt you can eat them. No one's ever had a peacock. And also...
Miles has tried.
I have tried. And also, they just go... That's the noise. So it's just basically sound of someone putting their hand through a wood chipper for hours. And brilliant. That's why they eat a peacock now.
It's so good.
Hate them. I'm actually quite scared of them. I just think they're very weird animals.
Quite nice to look
at,
though.
They're so beautiful, and yet they make the vilest noise out of all animals. It's kind of a bit of a cruel joke, really, isn't it?
And can I make one quick dishonourable mention of another animal that I hate? And I feel really awful saying this, but I'm going to say it. Martin, who works with us in our production company, who's brilliant guy. Mm-hmm. He brings his dog into the office.
Right.
His dog's called Fergus.
Yeah.
And I hate Fergus.
Does he know?
Does Fergus know?
No.
Martin knows.
Martin knows.
Yeah, because I call him the bad word.
I love Fergus. I think he's a darling little soul.
Well, that's because he hasn't bitten you for a while.
He's bitten me quite a couple of times. He snaps sometimes, but I think he's a lovely little soul.
He's out for himself. Fergus.
Like Robert Maxwell. He's an animal. He's not.
Fergus works for Fergus and no one else. All right. Fergus couldn't give a shit about you. If you had a stroke in the office, it'd be at you. It's kind of burying into
dog.
Your face.
Because he's a dog.
In moments. But his best friend, fuck off.
Are you too small a unit that you can't say to Martin, don't bring Fergus in?
Oh, he has to bring him in. I can't remember why.
I like Fergus. And also, in fairness, Mark and I have separate offices. Not because we don't get on, but...
Well.
So Martin, I'm the production office, and Fergus is in there, so he's not hovering around.
He's in
your
all
legs.
The time. Only
yeah,
to,
but he's not anywhere near you.
Only
you're
have
in
to
the other
look
room.
At a Snickers wrapper, and he's in.
Why have you got separate offices?
Oh, we don't get on.
No,
we do.
It's just the way it works out. So the way our office is divided up, one's like the edit suite, one's like the production office. So I'm looking after more production stuff, and Mark is more sort of edity stuff. So
right.
We've kind of like been siloed, not through choice, just the way it is, you know.
but it's quite nice.
We have a central place we meet up.
To be fair, we're roughly 3 metres away from each other through a wall.
The walls are incredibly thin.
I'm in the LA office. He's in Truro.
In my Truro.
I don't know.
A peacock. Anything else? Any other reasons why you pick a peacock?
That really. I just think it's just ridiculous things. I mean, they are beautiful to look at. And, you know, when you see one without its feathers down, you think, go on. And they go, oh, they're wonderful. And that's enough.
Somewhere now, there's a peacock podcast. Yeah. And a peacock going, Miles, can't fucking stand Miles Chapman. The way he struts about, the noises he makes. You can win him.
Peacock podcast.
I just love imagining you just being next to a peacock, being like, go on, peacock, do it. Yes! When the feathers come out.
No, they're not.
I prefer the image of you trying to embrace a peacock. I don't know why you're doing it.
You can't cuddle them, you can't pick them up, you can't.
No, well, that's why they're not usually in the petting corner.
Yeah, no, but that's why I wouldn't have them on a desert island.
Okay, a peacock goes on the island. Well, thank you so much, guys. Let's talk about Lee and Dean. I can't wait for this. So please tell me about Lee and Dean.
So Lee and Dean is a comedy that's on Channel 4, starts on Good Friday.
Mm-hmm. It'll be out this Friday at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. 30 March, straight after Gogglebox.
At 10 o'clock.
Excellent.
Easy to remember.
Peachy slot.
What a great slot.
It is. It's an absolute zinger of a slot. We're very, very happy.
And it's the story of a couple of builders from Stevenage, Lee and Dean. Miles plays Lee and I play Dean, and we've been best friends since school. And the story sort of follows what happens when two really sort of different women come into their lives.
Okay.
And someone said to us a couple of weeks ago, is it like a love triangle? It's actually more like a sort of a love oblong.
Or dodecahedron even.
Okay.
It's very webbed up as the series rolled on. And it's not just that, it's about, you know, our mates are the people that were with the boys on the building site, and there's other lovely characters that are slowly sort of appear as the series rolls on.
And it's about the bromance between Lee and Dean as well as the wrinkles.
And how that sort of evolves throughout the series. So it's a beautiful thing. We're really proud of it.
So how did you research the characters? How did you sort of find Lee and Dean?
Miles had an extension built.
Right.
On my house. And we had a couple of characters for a while. I don't know what name we gave them. Were they Lee and Dean? Might mean Lee and Dean.
Because Miles and I, we make up lots of different characters. Mm-hmm. It's what we've always
done. Playing around with them. And we had two guys just worked down a factory, mate. You're our mate.
Line two,
you're our mate. You're doing 40 tonight, mate. A few loggers, you know what I mean, mate.
Yeah.
So it just came from that. And then it was, we had an extension on our house, and we had just a group of builders in there, and they were just like, oh my God. I said, there's absolute gold dust here. It's so beautiful. It's so universal. Because although they're very sort of class specific, I'm generalising here, everyone has come across a builder at some point and experienced them. So we thought, actually, it's quite universal. But what we wanted to do was, you know, I thought, well, builders, you know, on the surface of it, they're just, oh, mate, go have a few lagers, Sky Sports, you know what I mean? Just have a shag around. But actually, scratch the surface is so much more to anyone.
Yes.
And I thought it'd be very intriguing and exciting to sort of like find out more about these people underneath and
build
the characters. So that's kind of where it came from, yeah.
Great. And is there any of you two in Lee and Dean?
I suspect there probably is. Would you say there is for you and Dean?
I don't know. That's interesting. I mean, Dean's quite awkward. And as I'm getting older, I'm getting more and more socially awkward. Well done, mate. Don't know why that's happening. Maybe a bit. And Dean's a bit of a sort of a closet poet.
Yeah.
And I used to write a lot of poetry when I was a teenager.
Okay. Right. So that element has come in.
Yeah, that's in there. That's in there.
Have you enjoyed making it?
It's
been great. And the superb thing about it is that Channel 4 have let us make it the way we like to make things. So one thing is it's improvised.
Oh, great.
So we do have a sort of a script, but it doesn't have dialogue in it. It just tells us what happens in each scene. We've got some amazing co-stars. Anna Morris, who you had on this podcast.
She's great.
Amazing.
Hilarious.
And Camille Yu-Chan, she's incredible
who plays Nikki,
as well.
But she's just...
They're both amazing people,
and
amazing
we've got,
acts.
You know, a few names in there: Perry Benson, Ramon Sickerum, Ricky Grover, Tom Bennett was in Fanshot. So we've got a wonderful, wonderful cast.
Perry Benson, This Is England.
Yeah. Oh, well, Perry's been in everything, you know. Perry Benson. Yeah.
And the other thing that Channel 4 let us do, which has been incredible, is using all our mates. So over half the cast are just mates of ours that aren't actors. They're just people that we knew would be hilariously funny, and they do such an incredible job in the show.
Yeah, that's so good.
So we just said, be who you are, but as this character, and it's just works an absolute wonder. And be, you know, we improvise. So although we have, you know, very structured scripts, they're not sort of traditional scripts with dialogue. Hmm. We have sample dialogue that 9 times out of 10 isn't used, and we improvise within the structure of the scene. So we know where we need to get, what the steps or beats are throughout each scene, but the dialogue sort of improvised, so it gives that naturalistic sort of feel. And in the moment, some amazing stuff comes out.
Yeah, that's really great. Do you find that you have to keep shooting and shooting until you get that moment sometimes? Or
yeah, it kind of
occasionally. Yeah,
it sort of we shoot it and cut it a bit more like a documentary than a sort of a normal narrative sort of sitcom. So we shoot it. I think, you know, the series in total is about 2 hours long, and we had to get that out of 80 hours of footage.
Right, okay. So the way you do it,
extraordinary. I mean, and hand claps to Mark and Sam. So Sam's was one of the co-writers on it as well.
We went to college together.
Yeah, you went to college with Sam. Yeah.
The job they did, I mean, I produced it, Mark directed it, but the job they did with help from James as well, wasn't it?
Jamie
on the edit was incredible, because it was just a monumental task. Yeah. And so much responsibility as well, because, you know, you're delivering this to Channel 4, so it's not like you're doing it for your own gains, and the pressure of, you know, wanting to make something really good is, you know.
But then you're really happy with the end product.
Oh, we are. And Channel 4 seem really happy with it, and they're putting it out at a great time. And the other thing, and it's the first time they've ever done this, is that first episode is going out on Friday the 30th at 10 o'clock, and then all the other episodes will be on each Friday. But straight after the first episode, they're going to put out the rest of the episodes on all four the on-demand service. So if you want to binge it,
you can just do straight away.
Yeah. And we're the first show that Channel 4 have ever put out that way, which we're really excited about.
Yeah. So you can get that tickle and then think, right, I'm going to watch this all weekend.
Yeah, I'm going in, yeah.
Amazing.
So, and we just hope people like it. You know, we hope it's really funny. We hope it's really warm and sort of touching as well. Hmm. It was a joy to make. It was the best thing. It was a dream come true to make it, actually.
Yeah.
Second series, what do you reckon?
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, all right.
It would be grand, but no news of that yet, but God, that'd be incredible. And we've already sort of roughly plotted out what may happen in the second series.
Okay.
Massive new mortgage, so you know that'd be helpful.
Yeah. Okay, fair.
No, I'm joking. Or am I? I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, you know, we'd love a returning series. That'd be incredible.
Well, I absolutely cannot wait to watch it. I think it'll be hilarious. If people want to find you guys, where can they find you?
So you can find us at bingofilms.co.uk. That's our production company. Or you can find us on Twitter. You can look up Bingo Films, or you can look up Lee and Dean and Bingo Productions, and Lee and Dean are on Facebook as well.
So just Google stuff and it should all come up. So,
beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, our website is a good portal call. Most stuff you need to know is on there. So
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.